I'm sure by now you've heard the latest uproar involving Facebook. Here's the sketch. The company wanted to see if the emotional reactions of its users could be contagious. So for a study, it changed the news feeds of more than 600,000 users. But Facebook didn't tell them about the changes or the study. And when people found out, many got upset. Facebook has apologized, though it insists it was within its rights. The irony, of course, is that many of us learned about the controversy on Facebook. Zeynep Tufekci is the person we turn to talk about the intersection of technology and society. She's an assistant professor at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill.
The real question for me is the fact that a lot of people have now realized that Facebook does this every day. Our newsfeed is not some chronological, flow of our friends' posts and updates, nor is it the sort of simple, straightforward algorithm. Facebook is constantly doing these kinds of experiments to find out how to keep you, the product, on the site.
Now, I want to make sure I understand the methodology. Facebook on, again, maybe 600,000 users' news feeds, it would place things strategically and try to monitor the emotional reaction of the user. And how did they do that?
Well, it was actually a very minor tweak. I mean, to be honest, what they did was they removed some updates that contained positive words from some people, and they removed some updates that contained negative words from other feeds that were randomly decided who you got which. And then they watched you to see that in response to getting more positive updates, you also posted more positively, or in response to getting more negative updates, you also responded by posting slightly more negative updates. And it turned out to be true. It was a small effect. The tweak was small, but the results were recognizable and noticeable, so that they got published in a high prestige journal.
So I'm going to go global now. Facebook does have 1 billion users around the world. Why does this matter in a global context?
Well, it matters because there are large parts of the world where Facebook is this fundamental part of the public sphere. It's a fundamental part of social sphere. There are parts of the Middle East where large numbers of people use the Facebook as if it were the internet. That's there where they get their news. That's where they do their email. And there are a lot of people who organize protests on Facebook. So you can imagine Facebook as a central part of our life in globally without an alternative. If you want to be political in Egypt or in, a lot of places, that's the only choice you have. Without an alternative, it has this enormous decision-making power in what it shows you. And we have no insight into it. Why does it show me that kind of post but not the other? It's making these decisions on your behalf every day, and it's testing to find which one is going to make you come back to Facebook, which one's going to make you click on ads, which one's going to make you, sort of stay engaged to the site. And that's why globally it's so important. Facebook's not just a company that's producing widgets. It's got this huge responsibility as the social and civic space in so many countries around the world.
So Zeynep, what else have you been looking into lately?
Well, interestingly, I have been looking at how a lot of authoritarian regimes are trying to keep their supporters off Facebook and off Twitter by making them look like these awful places where, where horrible things happen.
How are they doing that?
Well, that's a very interesting question. They can't really just shut it down because, as we just talked about, it's so central to people's lives in so many countries that you can't just, unplug it. Then people get upset. What they do is they've started in many countries. We see this demonization campaign, this propaganda campaign that politicians around the world, from Putin in Russia to Indonesia, they're just saying, oh, social media, it's dangerous. It's awful. It's horrible that you have all these problems there. And so the interesting twist to this is every time Facebook or Twitter, they make a misstep or they do something with privacy that's inappropriate or they, sort of don't keep track of things, it just feeds the cycle of authoritarian regimes that want to demonize Facebook, but for the wrong reasons. So I find myself in the same day both criticizing, Facebook's opaque algorithms and shaking my head at this intense campaign coming from authoritarian governments trying to demonize these platforms, which reminds me why it is so important that we have these conversations. This is the stuff of life in 21st century.
Zeynep Tufekci is an assistant professor at University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Thanks very much, Zeynep.
Thank you for inviting me.